Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Big Orange Wagon Podcast alongside the executive producer of The Drive with Stern Hooley every afternoon on Sports Radio 610. He is Tyler Milner. I am Patrick Creighton, the host of Area 45 evenings on Sports Radio 610. And this is the Big Orange Wagon Podcast, your source for all things Astros. Every week we bring you the dirty dirt and, you know, peel that onion back just enough so that you guys understand exactly what's going on with your favorite team, the Houston Astros. I don't want to, you know, do the whole, you know, self high five and self pat on the back thing.
I think you should, man.
Because on this very podcast, we did tell you in the last episode why Yusei Kikuchi was going to be a good addition for this team. And son of a bee, Tyler, if we were not spot the F on.
Oh, yeah. We said Kikuchi about Yusei Kikuchi. See what I did there? Kikuchi looks good, man. I mean, it's two starts, so you don't want to get out over your skis, get ahead of yourself too much, but Kikuchi looks good. I mean, how many strikeouts did he have in that first start?
11.
Yeah, that's dirty.
Astros season high at that time, 11 punchouts.
Yeah, that's a good debut for old Yusei Kikuchi.
And, you know, look, this is exactly... he's been exactly as what we said he was going to be. He's a guy who's got terrific swing and miss stuff. The Astros were going to, you know, kind of get into him and identify, look, this is what your best pitches look like. This is what your worst pitches look like. This is what we want to do. This is what we want to kind of get away from here. This is how we want to pitch. This is the philosophy. And look, we talked about how the correlation to Gerrit Cole, another guy who had elite swing and miss stuff, but the consistency wasn't there in Pittsburgh. And, you know, when Cole first got to Houston, he's like, man, they do things so differently here. Yep. They're asking me if I like the way the ball's coming out of my hand, if I like the shape of the throw. And he's like, what are you guys talking about? And then they bring him into the film room and they're showing him everything in like whole high detail. And he's like,
gotta make you feel so bad if you're a Pirates fan.
We've never done anything like this before. This is all next level.
What is this witchcraft?
And, you know, I mean, look, the first thing they did when they got Kikuchi is like, okay, you know what? We're going to throw the slider more. We're going to throw the changeup more. And we're going to throw the curveball less. And his first start, he threw two curves. Yeah. It had been the pitch he threw the second most. And they...
Yeah, that changeup was a lot more active too, wasn't it?
He threw the changeup a lot more, and it was very effective. And you know what? If you look at Yusei Kikuchi through two starts with the Houston Astros with a 3.27 ERA, people were like, oh my God, he's got a 4.75 ERA. He's so terrible. Why are they getting this guy? And it's like, don't look at the ERA because all the other numbers... say the ERA should be less, including, you know, I mean, his FIP, which was a full run lower than his ERA and was actually, you know, better half of the league. It's like, you know what? You know that the left side of their infield, not nearly as good as the left side of the Astros infield defensively.
That's just a fact, yep.
And you're going from a home run launching pad park to a park that outside of the Crawford boxes pitches to a pitcher's park. Yep. You know, it's going to be different. And look, guys get a bump when they go from a team that is struggling at the bottom of the standings to a team that's at the top of the standings. They get a bump.
That's facts. I mean, it's human nature. Yeah, absolutely.
So Kikuchi threw two starts, 11 innings pitched, 19 punch outs. How we doing?
Whiffs. Love to see whiffs. No, this is exact. You just laid it out perfectly, PC, but I will reiterate, it is exactly what the Astros needed. I would have taken maybe one more arm in that kind of realm of talent, but no, it's exactly what you needed in this rotation in a year in 2024 with all these injuries and all these hiccups. That's what you needed, and Kikuchi's coming on strong. That's a good thing.
No, and listen, we talk about we wanted them to get two starters, but for the cost of what they had to give up.
Right.
I mean, look, there is something to the fact that teams did not want to help the Houston Astros get better. They've been the seven straight ALCS. They don't want to help them go two and eighth.
Orange so team bad.
They want the Astros to pay through the nose. You know, think about the package they gave up for Yusei Kikuchi essentially was turned down by the Detroit Tigers. Because, you know, remember, they pivoted from Jack Flaherty to Kikuchi. They turned him down.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't get Eric Fetty from the White Sox, who wound up going for really nothing. I mean, they gave away Fetty, which made no sense to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also saw they turned down a much better package from the Minnesota Twins for Eric Fetty, which has been all over the internet, how they turned down a really good package from Minnesota because they decided, well, we don't want to trade in division. Like, are you kidding me? This is a journeyman, middle of the road guy.
That's always been interesting to me.
Who's, you know, for the first time in his life having some kind of success at the major league level. And here you have a division opponent who's going to have him for 1 year after this year. He's going to have 1 year. But you could get potentially guys from them that you could have for 6, 7, 8 years and like kind of rub it in their noses. And they're like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. That tells you what a joke of an organization the White Sox are in.
Yeah, I mean, what did they got Bill O'Brien running their roster as GM over there? I mean, that just I don't get the logic because I don't think it's very logical at all. Yeah,
almost like you got to go find a guy who's wearing one of those collars. Thumping his Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. I'm Jack.
Freaking Easter.
Let me tell you about the Lord.
Gosh, that dude will forever be one of the banes of my existence. Shout out to you, Jack Easterby.
So, you know, Yusei Kikuchi has been everything they could ask for. The bullpen arm they acquired, Caleb Ferguson, he still needs a little bit of work.
Not so good.
This is a guy who spent 5 years with the Dodgers, and four of those 5 years, he was good. He was pretty good.
The hell happened?
Well, he went to the Yankees and just dookied all over himself.
Oh, pinstripes F everything up.
And it turns out that the Astros have not yet been able to figure out how to fix him because he's actually been worse for Houston than he was for the South Bronx Slumlords. He's thrown 2 2/3 innings for the Houston Astros and allowed 4 runs, earned, 5 hits. He did strike out 4. I mean, hell, he struck out 2 left. He struck out 2 righties.
Yeah.
He's a guy who usually, you know, he's nails against lefties. You know, righties give him trouble. He comes in, strikes out 2 righties, and then gives a 2-run homer to a lefty. And going, what the hell just happened?
I was about to say, Ferguson was the one pitching in that walk-off, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And he said, how? How did that happen? How did you give up a walk-off homer to a lefty when, for his career, he is nails against lefties? It was the weirdest thing. Yet, it happened. So they're trying to figure out Caleb Ferguson. Of course, they gave up nothing for him.
Right. So, yeah, there was nothing involved in that deal. Yeah.
Total flyer. But the most important thing is, look, they needed the starter. They went and got Yusei Kikuchi. Did they give up a lot to get him? Yeah, I guess they did. But a lot is relative. They didn't give up 100%. A top 100 prospect, as Jeff Passan noted. 0 top 100 prospects got traded at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They did not give up like one of their top 3 prospects. Bloss is probably legitimately 2 years away from being real major league player.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And you know, if you believe in Keith Law's analysis, he has Bloss as a 4-5 starter.
Okay. It seems like most people are upset about Joey Lopes.
I had Bloss as like a 3-4-5 starter. Like, I think he's got potential 3 upside, but
sure.
Keith Law thinks he's got 4 upside. Loperfido, look, I think Loperfido was a fan favorite.
Yes.
I think he brought an energy to the team and a spark to the team. He played terrific defense. He has a big arm. He's athletic.
Young kid, a lot of energy, good looking.
He also strikes out more than I did in ninth grade with the girls. And I was barely 5 foot tall.
He did whiff a lot. That is a fact.
I mean, he whiffs at a rate that is almost inconceivable. Like you need to like set the the MLB the Show to rookie, and like you've got the pitcher fastball for 107 miles an hour, and the other team is a bunch of like old fat guys who can't swing bats. So the fact that he strikes out as much as he does Loperfido to me does not look like he is going to really be an everyday player, because you can't strike out that much and be an everyday player.
No, I mean, that's been one of the key ingredients to the Astros run over the last 7-8 years is limiting in a big way the amount of strikeouts whenever your squad's in the batter's box. And he that rate was not slowing down for old Joey Lopes.
You know, I think it's very interesting because Loperfido and Pedro Leon have very similar player profiles. They are both very good defenders. They have a lot of speed. They've got big arms. They have power. They also strike out like absolute champions. And, you know, Pedro Leon had been having a terrific season at AAA as well. He comes up, they sit him for like almost what, like 5, 6, 7 days. I mean, he doesn't play for almost a week. Comes back, he's ice cold, and he's striking out like a champ. And, you know, 3 days, 5 strikeouts. You know what, Pedro, why don't you pop a seat on the bench? We know you play great defense.
Grab but, some pine, bro.
You know, if you're going to hit like Chas McCormick, well, we'll just play Chas McCormick. So, and that's kind of what's happened. So the trade deadline, or look, the most important thing was they got a starter. They did.
Yes.
And that starter has pitched well in 2 starts. And anybody who was whining, crying, bitching, moaning, complaining, oh my gosh, why is Dana Brown so stupid? The Astros are awful. They got hosed. They're so stupid. You know what? Early returns, they're winning this deal. So,
yeah.
And if they go to the playoffs and Yusei Kikuchi continues to pitch the way he has, they win the deal and it doesn't matter, because 4th starters and 4th outfielders are very easily replaceable in any draft.
Yep. Well, well said, PC. Couldn't have said it better.
All right, let's talk about some good news. Justin Verlander's timeline got a massive turbo boost. Woo! Over the last week. JV came out last week and said, you know what? All of a sudden, I feel great. He was supposed to throw a regular bullpen. Instead, he threw a bullpen with live batters.
Mm-hmm.
And came out of that feeling really good. He told the media, I'm going to make 2 rehab starts, which basically means he told Dana Brown he's going to make 2 rehab starts through the media.
Listen, Dana, this is what's going to happen.
It's like this idea, and I haven't pitched in a couple of months. I'm going to make 2 rehab starts. It's it. That's that.
We could pretend it was your idea, Dana, but this is how it's going to go.
And his first start will be this Saturday in Sugarland for the Space Cowboys on a day that happens to be Justin Verlander bobblehead day.
How weird is this?
So he was like, this has been planned all year long, that this was going to be Justin Verlander bobblehead day, and the first 2,000 fans are going to get a JV bobblehead on Saturday at Constellation Field in Sugarland. And now it turns out he's going to start. So you know what? They better get some more damn bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They better.
Yes, because they're going to be a sellout at Constellation Field. So if you want to see JV and only pay like $10-$15 for a ticket, Sugarland Space Cowboys got it. It's a great field.
Dude,
Constellation Field's terrific place to see a game. Family friendly.
That ballpark is beautiful, man. I've had fun out there like numerous times.
Astros put a lot of money into that park when they bought the team.
Mm-hmm.
They redid the field. They redid the dugouts, the clubhouse, the workout facilities, the medical facilities. They redid everything there. And that is a great ballpark to go see a game.
Facts.
So Saturday, first of 2 rehab starts for JV, which means, assuming he does not have any setbacks, JV could be back with this team in 2 weeks.
Oh, that turns me on.
Which is about 2 weeks ahead of what the timeline would have been 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
That's how fast things have changed for Justin Verlander. In a matter of 2 weeks, he cut 2 weeks off the timeline. So instead of being like back, say, around September 9th, we're looking at a potential of him being back, say, August 22nd when they go to Baltimore.
I'll take that. He must have got some like stem cells injected into his neck or something.
You know, it's funny. Like when you have like a nerve issue, you got like a janked up muscle or nerve in your neck. When it, because I have that issue. I have disc issues in my neck. And when they work on you, right? So they'll pull your arm out. They're turning your head. They do a really deep, massaging. It's not comfortable. This isn't the kind of massage where you're like, oh yeah, right, that's the spot. This is the kind of massage where you're like, oh god, it really hurts to do this. You know, the next 2 days you're sore as hell.
I've been there.
But once it gets the job done, once it works it out and you no longer have that pain, dude, you feel so good.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my god, I can turn my head, I can lift my arm, oh, I'm a new person, and let's go. And now JV's out there pumping 94 miles an hour in bullpen sessions when he was throwing 93 in games. So it's JV's feeling good, let's roll. JV possibly back August 22nd in Baltimore. Then we've got the idea of possible arm help coming. Now, in Sugarland, there are two pitchers that we want to highlight who could potentially be call-ups, say, at the end of the month. One is starting pitcher Ryan Gusto. Gusto has been absolutely nails for about 2.5 months.
This guy's got some gusto, huh?
He is the reigning pitcher of the month for the Space Cowboys. He is the Pacific Coast League pitcher of the month as well.
Some nice hardware.
Gusto this year has a 3.88 ERA. He's 6-2 in for Sugarland this year. He has made 19 starts and has thrown 102 innings, 98 strikeouts, and a 1.34 WHIP. That is not the story. The story is that since May 31st, he hasn't allowed more than two earned runs in a start.
That'll raise the eyebrows. Huh?
This is a guy who has figured it out.
Unlocked something.
And, you know, there were a lot of games. That game on May 31st against Las Vegas, he had four earned runs in just four innings. Since then, six innings, one run, six Ks, five innings. And at the time, he entered that game with an ERA over eight. And I just told you,
snowman. All
right, so on May 31st, his ERA was 8.03. Right now, it's 3.88. That is how hard he has been dealing since then.
Atta kid.
Five innings, two earned, five Ks. Five innings, one earned, three Ks. Seven shutout innings, six Ks. Six innings, one earned, five Ks. Six and a third, no earned, nine Ks. Five and a third, two earned, four Ks. Seven innings, one earned, five Ks.
I like those numbers, man. And if this season keeps going the way it has, unfortunately for the Astros, I mean, they'll probably need this kid at some point.
Last two starts, he has gone a total of 14 innings. He's allowed seven hits, no runs. He has walked two and struck out 12.
He's filling it, that arm right now. I like that.
June, July, and into August, he has been really, really strong. And for a team that has literally no depth at starting pitching right now, Ryan Gusto is a guy to look for as a call-up here as we get towards the end of August. Another guy that you might be looking for as a potential call-up to the end of August for the bullpen, it's a name you know. He's been around the block organization.
Don't do it.
And you know what?
Don't say it.
He might actually be healthy for the first time in forever.
I'll believe it. I see it.
Forrest Whitley is actually pitching pretty well right now for the Space Cowboys. In fact, he's got a 2.53 ERA in the minors this year. 21 and a third innings. He's allowed six earned runs and struck out 26 batters.
And had 18 injuries to finish that stat line off.
And he has not allowed an earned run since June 26th.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, he's allowed some unearned runs because, you know, the Space Cowboys don't necessarily play elite defense all the time.
They even have gloves?
But he has not allowed an earned run since June 26th, and that encompasses 13 appearances.
Okay. Lucky 13. That's my lucky number.
So 13 scoreless appearances.
I mean, I love to hear this about Forrest. I'm going to be real honest here. I want the best for Forrest Whitley and for the Astros, obviously. But I have no belief until it happens. Until we see a consistent, healthy Forrest out on that mound for consecutive appearances, I can't.
That's why I think, this past couple of days here, he made back-to-back appearances on August 6th and August 7th. And he's still throwing 98. That, I thought, was a big step for him to show, hey, you know what? I can pitch back-to-back innings. And I back-to-back days.
Got the velo.
And the velo doesn't change. His ERA in Sugarland right now is 2.18.
We'll take that. The 2.81 loves a 2.18 ERA.
Yeah, 2.18 ERA, 1.26 WHIP. He's pitched pretty well for them for, you know, going on about 2 months. And if he can continue to put up those zeros as we get through the month of August and stay healthy, I think he's a guy that could get a call up at the end of the month and, you know, kind of give a little shot in the arm to a bullpen that has been overused badly this year. We saw at times Ryan Pressly look like he was overworked. Brian Abreu looking like he was overworked. Right now, Taylor Scott's kind of going through it because he's pitched an awful lot of innings. Forrest Whitley is a guy who could potentially come up, bring up some 98-mile-an-hour gas, and give them those underbelly innings that, you know, the fifth, the sixth innings, you know, the innings, the bridge innings before you get to your big three at the back of the pen. He could help give you some of those innings. And These two guys, Gusto and Whitley, could really be important players for the Astros as they go through September and into the postseason. We'll have more big orange wagon for you coming up. What do you think's a good day?
How about Monday or Tuesday?
Monday or Tuesday. You know what? Monday sounds very, very good. We'll have a new big orange wagon for you on Monday. Eric, coming out of the weekend. Let me get the voice out. We're going to do it on Monday.
And you'll be able to get on this wagon.
Yeah. You and all your lady friends getting on the wagon. He is Tyler Milner. He is the executive producer of The Drive with Stern and Hughley every day from 2 to 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. I'm Patrick Creighton, host of Area 45. Weeknight 7 to 11 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Big Orange Wagon podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you on Monday. Go Astros!
Choo-choo MFers.